Hello and welcome, everybody. My name is Christian Fischer. I'm the host of the Disruptive Chef Entrepreneur Show. I know I say this at every episode, but today we have a really, really cool guest. So you guys get to meet her in a little bit. Hello again. I'm your host, Christian Fischer. I'm joined today by first of all, she's amazing in what she does. She is not just a mover and shaker in the industry. She leads the industry. And very seldom do you have an opportunity when you meet somebody, you have an instant bond. And you probably heard it said, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And I have here Deanne Brandstetter. She's been my teacher for a very long time. So Miss Deanne Brandstetter, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kristen. It's great to be here.
So I was looking forward to this for so long. And people which listen to the show know that I had my 100 list. And my 100 list had Arnold Schwarzenegger on it and all other great names. But right on the very top, I had Deanne Brandstetter. And for two reasons, because you guys will fall in love with her, what she does and how she supports the food industry. And then also the person she is, because the Deanne Brandstetter you guys are going to meet today is the same Deanne Brandstetter when she is on stages speaking to thousands of people or when she's out there on the street. So she's one of the most amazing human beings I have met. And I couldn't wait to have this conversation. So with that, Deanne, if you don't mind, tell our audience for the next 2-3 minutes. Who you are and what you do.
Well, hi, everybody. And first, thanks for having me, Christian. And really, I think I've learned just as much from you as maybe you've learned from me. So I think it's a mutual teacher relationship here. I lead nutrition and well-being. So I'm a registered dietitian nutritionist by trade, but practice in the culinary nutrition area. Which is a relatively new area for registered dietitian nutritionists. Mm-hmm. I've been doing that for a very long time. I'm proud to be leading the team of over 3,000 dietitians for a major contract food service company. And also advocating for the role of culinary nutrition within the entire field of nutrition and dietetics, because it really is very important. Registered dietitian nutritionists are known to be the experts in food and nutrition. And sometimes we forget the food part. I've had so many chefs that I've worked with say, but you're the food police. And we really aren't the food police. More and more registered dietitian nutritionists are getting culinary training, whether formal training or by osmosis, and are really engaged in food conversations. And we can't get people to change their eating habits unless we can change the way they eat. And that means talking about food, not nutrients.
I absolutely love, and did you guys now hear why I love Deanne? Because for me, I always looked at Deanne as one of my resources, because for me, even though I went to culinary school, nutrition was never taught to the level I think it needs to be. And if we have any administrator from culinary schools listening in, I think it needs to become a stronger part of the curriculum for two reasons. Number one, I think it makes a chef just a more well-rounded person, because I think we all need a little bit of Deanne in us. And the second thing is it allows us to look at food differently. And you and I worked on this little program. I don't know if you remember, it was called Under Five. It was where we created meals under 500 calories. And as we worked on this project, what was an eye opener for me, I came from, you know, if it doesn't taste good, just add butter to it. Okay. Because that's what we taught in school. And you know what? Walk that really very fine line between overseasoned and salty, because that's what the real skill of the chef is. But what the eye opener for me was, everyday ingredients I used all the time and in my mind thought were healthy. When we ran it through our nutrition program, they were not that great. And for me, it made me look at nutrition totally differently. So how do you find it in your position? You know, you manage this massive team of, you know, a few thousand individuals. How do you ask them to build that relationship and break down that barrier with chefs? Because chefs still feel, you call it the food police.
So I've had a mantra for many years, which is every dietitian needs a chef bun. And I've been fortunate, really, really fortunate to have many chef buddies over the years, and I've learned from every single one of them. I think the other piece is it's not nutrition unless it's eaten.
Yeah, I love that.
That's a really important piece for a lot of registered dietitian nutritionists to think about. But at the same time, you know, we have massive healthcare issues in this country and really globally. And so, you know, my challenge to chefs is that we need to, you know, y'all are going to be left with no customers if we kill everybody. So we need to work together to create food that's first, absolutely delicious and craveable, but second, also good for people. And that's really my philosophy. And it's challenging. It's not easy because at the same time, it also has to be culturally relevant. So we can't, you know, the days of telling folks eat a grilled chicken breast and brown rice and steamed broccoli, those are over. You know, it may not taste great. It probably isn't relevant to the way that you're used to eating from a cultural standpoint. And like I said, it's not nutrition unless it's eaten.
I loved it, and I can listen to you forever. So, but for me, I'm interested, where did this passion for not just nutrition, but dietetics come from?
So I think I've been interested in food and nutrition since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I think my first foray into it, and you'll probably laugh at this, was making character birthday cakes for kids in the neighborhood.
I loved it. It
was a great business because my mother provided the ingredients, the kitchen, the electricity, the everything, and I just made money. And so, but I had no cost. I had no food cost. It was my labor. I couldn't really work elsewhere because I was probably 12 years old. So that was really like my first foray, but then I've worked in a number of different jobs, and being interested in nutrition at that time, you typically went down one of two paths. You went down the path of clinical nutrition, you worked in a hospital, you worked with patients and with physicians, or you went down the food service path.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really on the fence which direction I wanted to go. And then, you know, when I was a senior in college, I was working as a student manager in the dining hall, and we had an epic snowstorm. The snowstorm of all snowstorms in Ohio that shut down the campus for the first time in history. And a college in a rural area, none of the food service workers could get in. The chefs couldn't get in. The manager couldn't get in. No one could get in because it was country roads. They weren't plowed. Finally, one of the chefs came and opened up the dining hall. I trudged through about 5 feet of snow. And, you know, all of the students who lived on campus, which were probably 99% of them, they couldn't go to class. So all they wanted to do is come and eat. And we had to get deliveries in. So for 3 days, we emptied the freezer, emptied the walk-in, emptied the pantry, and cooked and, you know, had to throw together recipes on the fly. And we cooked and served and cooked and served and cooked and served. And I got done with that and that experience and said to myself, gosh, you know, if I want a career where every day is different and no one day, no 2 days are ever going to be the same, this is the direction I need to go in. So, That was the beginning of my career working in food, or the food service area of food and nutrition.
I absolutely love that. So, you know, you run this team in a very large organization. So how do you approach the challenges of promoting nutrition and wellness within an organization that big?
It's been a journey. I've been working for 27 years on this, actually almost 28, I think. And I'll admit at the beginning, it was very difficult because I was the only dietitian working in a non-clinical area for the company. So the only one doing more wellness and health promotion and that sort of thing. And the only one really working with chefs.
Mm-hmm.
And probably the thing that gave me the most clout, because I did have to get over that barrier of being seen as the food police. So I would say that there were two things that helped me get over that barrier. One, I volunteered for everything.
Yeah.
I went to every account opening and helped in any way I could.
Mm-hmm.
Volunteered to help merchandise stuff, volunteered to help set up small wares, to do everything I could to learn as much as I could so that I was seen as more of a team player.
Yep.
The second thing I did very early on in my tenure there, I was approached by one of the women chefs, one of the few women chefs at that time, who was working to be a certified master chef.
Mm-hmm.
I guess she had to do a certain number of culinary competitions.
Correct. Yep.
ACF was doing a culinary competition at that time. This is how long ago it was. It was called Healthy Cuisine 2000. And you had to have a chef and a dietitian working together. So she asked me if I would work on this with her. And I said, sure. I assumed my role was going to be helping her create recipes that met the criteria to put together into a menu that met the criteria that ACF had set forth for this challenge. So we got done creating this menu with the recipes, everything worked out number wise. And then she said to me, well, you have to cook also.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked at me and said, how are your knife skills? I bet they sleep.
I said,
well, I think they're okay, but probably not up to your standard. So I left the office every day for the next 6 months at 5 o'clock. Took a train into New York City, went to her account where she was running an executive dining room. She made her poor sous chef stay, and she gave me culinary lessons for the next 6 months. And the two sous chefs had to critique.
Yeah.
So in the end, I won an ACF silver medal. I was terrified. I mean, when I remember doing that competition and having all these certified master chefs like leaning over my shoulder while I'm cutting vegetables, I was sure I was going to cut my finger off. But in the end, it was great because it gave me a little bit of clout. It gave me some credibility with the chefs I was working with. And it went a long way, but it has been a journey over 27 years of continuing to listen, continuing to educate, continuing to listen to them and what their concerns were around creating healthier dishes and being really collaborative and not just me being the only person suggesting what they might do differently, but pulling them into major conferences all over the country, conferences at the Culinary Institute of America, conferences at Johnson & Wales, other major culinary schools that have focused on culinary nutrition for a very long time.
I mean, it's amazing. I love your journey and hearing that story. just doing culinary competition is not easy for anybody. And doing it, if you're asking me to do a nutrition competition, I think I would be scared too. So you worked with so many chefs. And I honestly feel chefs do want to make better meals, but there's so much misinformation out there that they don't know where to start. So where do you feel if a chef is interested in kind of providing not just a great dining experience, but also have that healthier halo to it? What do you recommend? Where should they start?
Well, one of the things is to not pay attention to everything that you see on social media or in the news. There is, I totally agree, there is so much misinformation out there. And, you know, I would say the first thing is first do no harm. Mm-hmm. You know, and you really don't want to give people misinformation or send them down the wrong path.
Yep.
So I would say first, make sure you have a dietitian buddy. It's easy to find if you're not sure how. You can go to eatright.org, which is the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, and look on the find a dietitian area. And it allows you to put in your zip code and also the area that you're interested in, you know, that you need somebody in. So yep. If you were looking for a dietitian to help you with hypertension or weight reduction or whatever, you'd put that in as a filter, but you can put in culinary and food service and that sort of thing. And you can find someone who might be willing to work with you. I know there are lots of students out there at colleges and universities that have nutrition and dietetics programs. And I always get questions from students, how can I work with chefs? How can I get into this area? And so, you know, you might look there because there are probably a lot of students who'd be willing to work with you.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, you know, the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, so that same eatright.org website has a lot of information for the public that would also be very relevant for chefs. A lot of information that talks about myths and misperceptions and but it will be a great source of really accurate information.
So I love that. It's really good advice. Okay, I go to eatright.org. I find the person. I find my Deanne. How do you ask the chefs to make that introduction? And how do you want them to break down the barrier saying, I'm really interested in that? Because a lot of chefs still have, I don't want to call it fear, but a lot of respect from nutritionists and dietitians, because sometimes it is they don't know what they don't know. So how can a chef break down that barrier and make that connection with somebody like you?
Gosh, I guess I would start with the fact that there are many dietitians these days who also have a culinary degree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from a culinary school or a university.
Yep.
Probably more than 15 years ago, you know, Johnson & Wales started a culinary nutrition program. Mm-hmm. And the students coming out of there have an associate's degree in culinary arts, plus a bachelor's degree in nutrition and dietetics. So, and could then become an RD. So there are a lot of dietitians out there with that background. Mm-hmm. that understand where chefs are coming from to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
They might not have extensive restaurant experience, but they at least understand the basics. But there are also a number who are really interested. And, you know, I think just asking, especially if you focus on one particular area that you're interested in,
yeah.
You know, how can I focus more on vegetable cookery? How can I reduce salt or sodium?
Yeah.
You know, where if you focus on one area, I think you'll find that dietitians are really receptive. If you get a rote answer, you move on to somebody else. You know, if you have somebody that says, oh, just don't use any salt in cooking, just use herbs and spices, you know, then you probably need to move on to somebody else because it's a lot more nuanced than that.
I love that. And for me, and any chef listening interested in that, I love what you just said. You know, reach out to somebody, make that connection. And, you know, if it doesn't work, move on. You know, find yourself somebody else. Because for me, I think the biggest eye opener besides the program we did together is I think a little knowledge is dangerous. And for me, I loved what we did so much. I went back to school to get a degree in nutrition. And the 2 years I went back, I was like, I had no idea. I didn't know what I didn't know. And for me, it was one of those things. When I talk to chefs about it, they don't want to agree to it, or they don't want to admit it. But it looks overwhelming to them. I'm not overwhelming it. And they also say, ooh, this is a big thing. I don't think I want to get into that because my clients are not interested. But in one of our episodes earlier, we had Chef Kerry Neff on it. Mm-hmm. And I always loved how you interacted with him and you guys built some amazing things together. Nutrition doesn't need to be scary. So how do you break this down for a chef who is afraid of nutrition?
Well, I think it's about, you know, it's about the food. Mm-hmm. It's about the food and it's about the flavor. And I think for many chefs, the way they were trained is to focus on that center of the plate, mm-hmm. the entree or the animal protein piece. Yeah. And I would say that a good place to get started for chefs is to focus on the vegetables. And it's challenging, but we need to put more time into making those vegetables delicious. I think they're always an afterthought and maybe a bit of a misperception for many chefs. It's like, okay, if I want this overall dish to look healthy, I'm going to put a side of steamed broccoli or a side of steamed asparagus or steamed green beans. And I'm just going to throw a little bit of it on the side of the plate because chances are people aren't going to eat it anyway. Mm-hmm. But the reason they might not be eating it is because it doesn't taste great.
Yeah.
So I would focus on, you know, kind of flip things around. I mean,
I love
culinary resources in your kitchen.
Yeah.
Into making those vegetables absolutely delicious and craveable. Use every cooking technique that you know. You know, use caramelization, use roasting. You know, use oil as a way to carry aromatics and spices and accentuate the flavor that way. I think there are just so many more opportunities there. It's challenging. The repertoire of vegetables is so much bigger.
Oh, I love that.
Of animal protein, when you look at all the different varieties of different vegetables and even fruit. So I think that's a great starting place.
I love that. And let me ask you then that question a little bit different, because you work with so many chefs, you know, for a very long period of time, and you've been in the industry. What do you see is one or two things, I don't want to call it a mistake, but what is one or two behaviors any chef can change tomorrow to see a huge impact on how they look at nutrition?
So first is this idea that has been perpetuated since probably the 1970s or the 1980s that low fat is good, low fat and no fat. And the current thinking, the current scientific evidence shows it's more about quality of fat or type of fat, which is great news for chefs. Because fat can be such a flavor carrier. So when we look at fats, we want to focus on ingredients that contain monounsaturated and polyunsaturated fats. Mm-hmm. So, you know, vegetable oils, olive oil, seed oils, that sort of thing. And also nuts, seeds, you know, avocado, all of those sorts of things, which are higher fat foods. They can add a lot of flavor. They can carry herbs and spices. And there's no need, from a calorie standpoint, they're also very calorie dense. Mm-hmm. So you need to be careful. You're not using tons of it because then you're going to have a very high calorie dish, but you should not focus on eliminating fat and making this kind of no fat steam things. that sort of thing. So that would be my number one absolute thing to think about in terms of nutrition for chefs. Mm-hmm. You know, it stems from looking at the old nutrition science or the mm-hmm. old nutrition philosophy and not keeping up to date with what's the current time.
I love that. I can talk to you forever. But for me, I love what you just said with the future. Our show is called The Disruptive Chef. How do you think chefs can disrupt the industry around nutrition?
Well, I think take on the challenge. And the one thing I will say is that there has been over the last maybe 10 years, so much regulation. Mm-hmm. And legislation coming in, everything from menu labeling to there are specific cities in the U.S. where you have to put warning labels on high sodium dishes or potentially warning labels on menu items that are high in added sugar. So I would say be proactive. Learn a little bit about nutrition. Find a dietitian buddy that can help you. And because if you're not proactive, nobody wants to be regulated or legislated.
I love that.
And told what to do. And if you're proactive, chances are we'll be able to avoid that. The second thing is if you do make changes, talk about it. I'm part of an organization called the Healthy Menus R&D Collaborative that's out of the Culinary Institute of America. And we're a bunch of research chefs and dietitians that are working on reformulating menu items for major chain restaurant players and non-commercial college and university dining companies like mine. And collectively, we've made a huge impact, but we need more stories. We need stories from other chefs that are making these big changes and being proactive. And in that way, I think we can, we need to talk about it.
I absolutely love that. For me, you such a wealth of knowledge. How do you stay inspired? How do you stay current for so long? And you always on the forefront of nutrition.
Well, I'm fortunate in that I have a lot of dietitians that I work with who are on the forefront. So I have this wealth of people that I can tap into for the latest and greatest. I also, am very active in the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, and they're absolutely on the cutting edge of the latest nutrition research, but also everything that's evidence-based, because one or two studies doesn't mean that that's the truth, if you will. And nutrition science evolves. One of the challenges with it is that it evolves over time. Science isn't black and white. It's a body of knowledge that continues to grow and expand. And as we have more research, the thinking might change. And that's exactly what happened with the whole low fat, no fat philosophy, if you will. That was the best science that we had back in the 70s and 80s. But over time, as science evolved, we learned a lot more and we've shifted our thinking. So it's not that we were wrong then, it's just that the science has evolved. So that's
I absolutely love that. And I want to be respectful of your time, because for me, by the way, I have a bunch of notes here already. For any chefs listening there was three things I heard you need to say. Number one, we need to take on the challenge to make that impact, to be disruptive. Number two, we need to go to eatright.org and find ourselves our Deanne. And when we have the Deanne, we tackle it with amazing high quality fats. So if you guys like these conversations, please share it with the friends. Deanne, how can people learn more about all the amazing things you are up to? And are we allowed to peek a little bit behind the curtain, because you're working on something totally amazing?
Yeah. I mean, you're welcome to connect with me on LinkedIn or please connect with me on LinkedIn. If somebody has a particular question or wants to know how to connect with a dietitian in their area, I'm happy to help you.
That was amazing. Miss Deanne, thanks for the gift of your time. Thanks for sharing your wisdom. I actually have already a few people texting me here. We need a half a 2.0 of Deanna. So we will have a 2.0 if you allow us to.
Absolutely.
You have, by the way, first off, I really thank you for doing this. You have that innate ability to make it sound so simple. And you have that ability to connect with people. For me, I'm super grateful that you give us the gift of your time and you share so freely. And then also, thank you for your friendship for so many years. You've been a really peaking in this industry and you're an amazing human being. So thanks for being here today.
Well, it's been great working with you and great to be on your show today, Christian.
Great. Thank you. So if you haven't done so, please like this episode. Please tag Deanne Brandstetter when you share it with your friends. If you want to know more, please re-listen. And you guys need to follow her on LinkedIn. She puts some amazing content out there. And if you see her name on the speaker list, make sure you sign up and you go to those events. So with that, I want to say until next time, remember to disrupt the kitchen, fire up your career, stay hungry for change. I'm Christian, your host of the Disruptive Chef Entrepreneur Show. I'm signing off. So be the change, be the challenge, and be the chef who sets the world on fire. And go out there, find yourself, your Deanne. Thanks a lot, Deanne. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you.